We serve a God whose timing is impeccable. Amen. Just when we were at the point of our greatest need, that's when through His Holy Spirit, He reaches through. He grabs us. He shows us who He is, and He gives us hope that can never be taken away. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You, and we thank You so much for this day. For Lord, we know this is the day that You have made, and we rejoice, and we're glad in it. And we're so thankful, Lord, that You have called us together on this day for such a time as this, in such a moment as this. And Lord, You are going to call us to live invested in the things that matter most. And so, Lord, focus us on You, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, that's the message today, that we would live invested. And I want you to know that God's timing is impeccable, because we've got some important things to talk about as a congregation today. We've got some important things to talk about insofar as our third century of ministry will go. And what do we need to do? How must we invest in order to ensure that our third century of ministry is our strongest ever in the power of the Holy Spirit? But I want you to know that as we turn to the sacred text in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30 today, God sent us to this text months before we ever decided that we would discuss what we're discussing today. God's timing is impeccable. The older I get, the more I care about where I'm invested. How many of you have found you have finite resources? You have finite dollars, you have finite hours, you have finite moments, and as more of them pass, you learn the importance of where you invest those things. Well, there was a missionary named C.T. Studd, and he wrote a poem, and I want to give you one line from the poem that has shaped my life over the last decade, and it's actually the theme of the message if you're taking notes today. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." How many of you have found that life passes more quickly than you think it will? How many of you have found that children grow more quickly than you think they will? How many of you have found that wrinkles come more quickly than you think they will? I officiated a wedding last night, a beautiful young couple, sharp young couple, educated young couple, highly intelligent young couple. And every time I officiate a wedding now, I think about all the things they think they know, but they don't. Because when my wife and I got married, we thought we knew a lot of things, and we didn't know much of anything. When we had children, we thought we knew some things, and oh, it's turning out we don't know much at all. But we trust God in the process. Where are you invested? I want to invite you to look at Acts chapter 11. If you're in the Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 920. And if you're on the YouVersion app, you can tune in to our live event now and follow along. But hear these words written by Dr. Luke as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. But as you hear them in light of what C.T. Studd said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Acts chapter 11, verse 19. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians." I want us to see first this morning that joining God's work allows us to see God's hand and rejoice at God's movement. Joining God's work allows us to see God's hand and rejoice at God's movement. The hand of the Lord has been evident here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut for many years, even before we as a church met at the corner of 12th and Chestnut. For we as a people were formed in 1818, and our forebears met first in what is now the parking lot of Bowling Green Municipal Utilities. And then in 1836, they moved across the street and half a block closer to the square in a beautiful Corinthian structure where they worshiped under the leadership of our then pastor, Dr. J.M. Pendleton. They had the Sunday school program enacted by his wife, Mrs. Catherine Pendleton. They were already celebrating a great history and heritage. The first pastor of our church was injured in a carriage accident and was so committed to the gospel that he would sit down to preach because he couldn't stand. But God has done amazing things throughout the course of two centuries of ministry at First Baptist Church. And then in 1915, when we moved to this location, to the corner of 12th and Chestnut, where faith and life meet, and that beautiful building was dedicated that came to be known as the Great White Temple, known by that moniker because of the sun's reflective rays off of the limestone facade. Think of all the life that happened in that building, all the ministry that happened in that building. I think of the ministries of some of our pastors, like Dr. R.T. Skinner. Dr. R.T. Skinner was our pastor in the 30s and 40s, and he was leading us when our church first baptized more than 100 people in a year in 1936. He led us through the post-World War II time and this time of incredible growth within the life of our church as men and women sought to put their lives back together. I think of the ministry of Dr. H. Franklin Pascal. A name that though he is gone on to glory, his name still rings and reverberates in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and in Nashville, Tennessee, and throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. I think of the ministry of Dr. Rollin S. Burhans. And I never got to know Dr. Burhans, but through the stories that the people who loved him have told. And I can't help but, when it snows in the winter, to think of the famous snow sermon that he preached. Ministries of Dick Bridges and Dr. Hopper, and not just the pastors, though, those who have loomed so largely in the life of the First Baptist Church, those who have invested themselves, those who, like Barnabas, whom the Bible says was a good man, who was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. How many of you know that First Baptist Church has been filled with good people who were full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith? I think of people like Juanita Hill, Nancy Crone's mother, who served so many pastors and served so many people within our church. Catherine Mae Duncan, who was our first unofficial minister of music. Jim Jones, who was our first official minister of music, whose son is still here and active in ministry today. Think about Nell Dickey Bowen, the famous organist who helped lead our church in worship. Think of Bryson Ritchie and Andrea Nance, who now help in those ways. Hayward Brown, the first director of our senior adult fellowship, Mary Grace Columbia. I think about the people that have gone on to glory even in the short time that I've been here. People who labored so faithfully for the Lord, people who invested so deeply in things that matter, and we know they matter because the things in which they invested still impact us today. I want you to think for a moment about your journey with First Baptist Church. Whether you're sitting in this room or whether you're watching from the broadcast or whether you're tuned in through Facebook or online right now or maybe you're listening to a podcast, I want you to think about your journey with First Baptist Church. Who are those people, men and women, who are good men and women, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, who have impacted your life? Perhaps they've gone on to glory and they, like those listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, there are those that, though they are not here, their lives still speak. They still echo down the corridors of history because they knew how to invest in things that mattered. Well, I want you to know that their investment was not in vain because now, standing upon the shoulders of these giants, God has called us to great things here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut today. And we're seeing His hand move in so many ways. I mean, right now, as we're gathered for Sunday morning worship, thousands of people all throughout the region are tuned in and experiencing this ministry right now. God has privileged us to be able to proclaim His holy and inerrant word, His gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one in whose name salvation is found all across our state right now. Our congregation is gathered in this room, but it's also scattered out all over the world through the wonders of modern technology as God allows us to lead others in worship. And it happens on Sunday mornings, and it happens on Sunday nights, and it happens on Wednesday nights. I want you to know one of the most powerful worship experiences we have at First Baptist Church happens every Tuesday night as 50 to 80 human beings come together for Celebrate Recovery, where you can bring your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups, and you can find healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the other night in this thriving ministry that takes all of us to put together, so many of you have served meals for CR. You've come and you've worked to ensure that CR can happen. You invest on a regular basis so that people know they're welcome here at First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky. Just the other night, we had our first ever Celebrate Recovery baptism service because that is such a vital moment within the life of our church. And five precious human beings profess their faith in Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. God is moving here and God is stirring here, but it takes all of us working together. It takes all of us to put together a children's ministry that would continue to reach and impact new families and a student ministry that would continue to reach and impact families to help students grow to know Jesus Christ, grow to be close to Him, and then to live sent, to go into their schools, to go with their sports teams, and to live out the faith that God is cultivating in them. It takes all of us to put together a community of faith that is typified in so many adult Sunday school classes and in small groups where people come together and they do life together so that when you're on your mountaintops, there are people celebrating alongside you, and when you're in the valleys, there are people who are letting you know you do not walk this road alone. We celebrate the great work of God in our senior adult fellowship, which is so active as they travel and as they continue to cultivate and to invest in what matters most, recognizing that their investment is impacting all of us. We thank God for our missions influence. Did you know that every week we engage with Helping Hands, where people who need food get fed? We engage with Churches United. We engage with Hope House. We engage with Saturday Meals on Wheels. We build ramps. We engage with Refuge BG to help those who are moving into our area from other parts of the world. Every week we host AA and Al-Anon and Alateen and Adult Children of Alcoholics. Just this year we've sent missionaries to Guatemala and Honduras and Poland and Greece. We continue to support missionaries in Spain and in Hungary and in other locales all throughout the world. Through our giving to the Eliza Broadus offering, through the Annie Armstrong Missions offering, to the Lottie Moon offering, we support missionaries all around the world. Through our investment in Sunrise Children's Services, we make sure that the children who are in foster care in the Commonwealth of Kentucky are able to experience the love of Jesus Christ through families who will live Christ before them and love them with the love of Jesus Christ. We're invested in Western's Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Western's Baptist Campus Ministry. We're invested in the Mission Aviation Fellowship, Campus Crusade for Christ, Operation Christmas Child, and others. We invest in Church on Main and the Emmanuel Daycare, and we seek to reach out to people from all over the world with a Korean ministry and a Cambodian ministry and a Vietnamese ministry. Citizenship classes happen in this place nearly every day. Every day, 100 children, 150 children, with 150 more on a waiting list come, and their families are blessed through our Childhood Development Center as we seek to teach them what it means to follow Jesus. We invest in a recreation outreach center that was recently used by the Red Cross to collect blood, but also to host hurricane evacuees and all sorts of other things. We host the community the Kentucky State Women's Missionary Union, the Kentucky State Bible Drill, the Kentucky Baptist All-State Youth Choir and Children's Choir, the Kentucky Music Educators Association, the Regional Beth Moore Simulcast, the WKU Baptist Campus Ministry Leadership Retreat. We've held One Church Movement Worship Workshops, Orchestra Kentucky, and Warren County Public Schools for Christmas concerts, the Bowling Green High School Choir Concert, the Community Action Chili Cook-Off. We hosted the Warren Association of Baptists Annual Meeting in 2017, and we will host the Kentucky Baptist Convention Annual Meeting in years to come. This is a place where people come to know there's something greater. There's someone greater. His name is Jesus. Watch what happened next. Verse 27. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Number two, joining God's work requires our investment. According to our ability, in God-sized endeavors that will far outreach us and long outlast us. It requires our investment according to our ability in God-sized endeavors that will far outreach us and long outlast us. God has been faithful and he continues faithful, but the work must continue. And let me just give you one statistic and tell you why. The Glen Mary Home Missioners did a study of our state, and they found that in Warren County, Kentucky, we have a population of 113,792 people. They found that on a Sunday morning, on an average Sunday morning, 16% of that population is in church. Any church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means right here in Warren County, Kentucky, today, there are 95,543 people who are not gathered in a house of worship to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Right now. So though God has been faithful, and though God continues to do God-sized things among us, he calls us to invest for the future, for what matters most. The time has come for us to invest again. The time is now for us to invest together to ensure that this gospel ministry continues on. So I'd like to call Pastor David Tooley, the executive pastor of First Baptist Church, to give us some detail about what this investment will mean for each of us as we come together according to our ability and invest together for the future of this ministry. Pastor David.
I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to all of you for your continued investment so that First Baptist might have a ministry presence here on the corner of 12th and Chestnut. Investing and sacrificially giving so that the gospel might be proclaimed in downtown Bowling Green, Kentucky, has been a part of our 200-year history. In 1830, that investment was $52 by a congregation of 84 in a lot on the corner of Center and Main Street. In 1899, that was a $1,500 expansion to the church's Sunday school room space, $45,000 in today's dollars. In 1915, that investment was $135,000 in the Great White Temple, our previous sanctuary, on the corner of 12th and Chestnut. That was at the start of World War I, $3.3 million in today's dollars. In 1994, our church made a $9.1 million investment. It was required to construct our current sanctuary after the fire and carry us into the 21st century. Now, in 2019, the time is now for another needed investment, the replacement and modernization of our HVAC and lighting systems. So why are we saying the time is now? Well, the time is now because we have a campus that is being used for ministry almost daily, and simultaneously we have an HVAC system that is failing more rapidly than our budget and immediate savings can handle. We've spent a little over $200,000 on repairs in the last 2 years alone, and we could have spent twice that if we were keeping up with all the units that have actually failed. The time is now because we currently have over 30 HVAC units that are dead and that have not been replaced due to the cost. The time is now because we have a 30-year-old boiler that is living on borrowed time. And the time is now because we have a failing HVAC control system that utilizes software and operating systems no longer supported. The time is now because we are missing out on lower utility bills and decreased maintenance expenses by maintaining a fluorescent lighting system rather than updating to LED. The time is now because these maintenance items are becoming increasing distractions to our mission of pointing people to Jesus Christ. The good news in all of this is that we do have a plan for addressing each one of these issues. For the past 2 years, your trustees and finance team have been exploring solutions with different advisors and contractors. The plan that you have in your program with you was created in partnership with the Perfection Group, and it will provide our church facilities with an HVAC and lighting solution for the next 25 years of ministry. Once our funding is in place, this is the plan that we intend to present to the church for approval. We've broken the project into two phases that are outlined in your program. Phase number one provides for the foundational systems of the project. Its upgrades will impact the largest number of people and can yield the greatest amount of immediate energy savings. Phase two consists primarily of updating our failing heat pumps. We have 178 total heat pumps. Replacing them would be possible to spread out over time if funding isn't quickly available. We would start with the critical areas and then replace batches of units as funding permits. And together, these updates will provide a solution that's expected to take care of us for the next 25 years. $4 million is the cost for this plan. Now, that cost isn't set in stone until we sign a contract, and your trustees and finance team are not wanting to ask for your approval to sign a contract until we have at least $1 million committed to the project in the bank. We're hoping to have that raised and a contract signed before the project's costs creep up too much. Now, $4 million is obviously a lot of money, just like $135,000 was for our church back in 1915, and $1,500 was back in 1899. And our plan for handling this must take one step of faith at a time. This past Tuesday, we took our first step of faith and asked the leadership of our church to make their financial commitment to this project. 115 of us gathered to learn more and to make our pledges to this project. This group, which consisted of ministers, ministry leaders, deacons, and teachers, have pledged $707,000 to this project thus far. And we as a leadership body are committing to give $306,000 of that to the church in the next 30 days. We're asking you to prayerfully consider joining us in this investment in our ministry. We will only be able to pay for these needed upgrades to our campus if all of us give generously as we are able. God knows that each of us have a variety of financial responsibilities aside from this need. And he isn't going to call us to ignore those responsibilities and other callings in our lives. I also don't believe he's going to lead anyone to give a dollar amount that leads their family to begrudge God or the church. What kind of givers does God approve of? Cheerful ones. If the amount that you or you and your spouse contemplate giving is not one that you can give cheerfully, you probably have the wrong number. We're going to pay for this. We will. And it will happen through each person faithfully giving as they are able to the glory of God and the advancement of his purposes through our church. In a moment, Steve Snodgrass is going to come forward to explain our pledge cards and share how we each can take the next step of investing in this project. But first, I'd like to turn our attentions to the screen as a few of our members remind us about First Baptist's position for impact here in Bowling Green.
There is something palpable about what's going on in First Baptist Church. It's just an amazing feeling. There's something very special happening.
We offer a community of love and of God's Spirit that is welcoming and inviting.
It's been great for us to grow as a family. Whenever we have points in our life when we're down, I think that people are there to help kind of pick us up.
Here, this whole area is exploding. Thousands of apartments, medical school, hospital, the expansion of Western Kentucky University, the revitalization of downtown, the ballpark. And so here sits First Baptist Church right in the middle of all that.
We need a physical presence here in our community for people to hear the Word of God.
There would be a void in downtown Bowling Green without First Baptist.
With our close proximity to the university, I think we have an unbelievable chance to really impact students. They walk past the church or they see the church, they know where it is.
There's something really special about this site in Bowling Green. It's been here for many, many, many years. Here on Broadway and Chestnut.
It's important for us to perpetuate what's already been begun here so many years ago.
The hope and prayer is that we will continue to reach out and be that place where people can congregate for a lot of different things besides just worship, and in that way bring more people to the Lord.
There's a mission field right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we are situated in the midst of it.
Within a very short perimeter in the region are many, many people, not only people that live their whole life here, but people from countries all over the world that are new here, people that need the Lord.
More than 25 years ago, in the aftermath of a devastating fire, our church had a decision to make. Would we stay here in downtown Bowling Green, or would we move out to the suburbs? Our church decided to stay here because we believed that God had a plan for downtown Bowling Green and God had a plan for First Baptist Church. But as we continue into our third century of ministry, the time for decision has come again. Will we invest so that future generations might see First Baptist Church as a beacon for the precious gospel message of Jesus Christ? The time is now, First Baptist Church. The time is now to continue a two centuries long legacy in a way that will continue to impact well into our third century of ministry. Let's invest together.
While I'm speaking, I'd like to ask all the finance team and trustee team to step here on the stage with us so you'll kind of get a face with who's going to be working with us on this. We're going to now focus on our pledge cards, which you'll find attached to the Time Is Now brochure found in your order of worship this morning. So the time is now. This Sunday morning, the 19th of May, 2019, will be remembered as a special day as we kick off our HVAC lighting and energy control project campaign. We've all been praying and seeking God's direction, and a lot of us have already filled out, or soon will fill out, these pledge cards for this capital project here at First Baptist Church. So let's take a look at the pledge card. It's attached, you can just tear it off to your back of your brochure. And it says, help us reach our $4 million goal by making two pledges. Pledge one, $1 million start. Pledge two, the HVAC lighting completion project, $3 million. Many of you have already thought through both of these pledges and have already filled in both sections of the pledge card. But some of you may need some more time thinking and praying about what God's laying on your heart to pledge, and we want to make sure you've got plenty of time to do that. Our goal is to have $1 million start money in the bank by June the 16th. So this morning you actually have three options as it relates to your pledges. One, you can go ahead and write a check for your amount you're giving for pledge one and two, with your checks made out to First Baptist Church and a note says the time is now. Or number two, you can fill in the amounts under pledge one and two and return the pledge cards back to the church this next Sunday, because we want to give you some more time to think and pray about it. The 26th, Sunday the 26th, we'd like to have those back. If you're part of our TV viewing audience, and feel led to help with this need, you can call the church office or go online at firstbaptistbg.org/give. For those of you here this morning who've already feel like you're ready to make that commitment, we're going to have a place in our narthex, the Time Is Now box, that's under lock and key for your information to remain confidential. Keep in mind that our Time Is Now project campaign pledge is a gift above and beyond our tithe and regular giving here at First Baptist Church. A little side note, a conversation was had here about a week ago with my friend Billy Ray Smith, and it was said, man, $4 million is a big, awesome amount of money. Billy Ray's response, yes, but we serve a big, awesome God. The Bible records Paul's letters to the Corinthians, which gives us a lot of insight into proper church fundraising. From Paul's letters, we see that fundraising is not only legitimate for the church, but it's also a corporate undertaking. Paul's letter says, let everyone contribute. Once a true need arises, it's part of every believer's responsibility to help. Poverty does not exempt a believer from giving. As revealed by the poor widow who gave her two insignificant coins, it's the heart that God is concerned about, not the amount. So what matters most to God is we give with a genuine, cheerful heart. If you would now bow with me in a word of prayer. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your blessings that you bestow upon us all. Father, we thank you for your steadfast love and mercy on us. Father, I pray for our First Baptist Church family this morning that we will give to this need with gladness and sincerity. Lord, we give you these pledges to help in repairing, replacing, and updating these vital necessities for our ministry here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut as we continue to share the gospel and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to bless these pledges today, take them and use them for your kingdom and your glory. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Jeff.
Thanks, Steve. So how did they do it in biblical times? Everyone invested according to his or her ability, and God brought the increase. I believe at this moment of time in our church, First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, if all of us will invest according to our abilities, God will take care of this need, and he will take care of it in a miraculous way that will give all glory to him. And so I want you to know that we're all in this together. And as we give together, as we invest together, we will see the hand of God move in a mighty way. Those who are in current leadership in our church, deacons, standing team members, teachers, have pledged a remarkable amount already, a remarkable amount to be given even within the course of the next 30 days. And so the call to all of us is, what can we do? What will we do? How will we step out in faith, taking the resources that God has given to ensure that this profoundly impactful ministry to which we have devoted our lives has even greater impact in our third century of ministry? We're going to end our service a little different today. We're going to end our service leaning upon the everlasting arms, leaning upon the one who has provided everything we have, leaning upon the one who will provide everything we need. As our choir prepares to sing an incredible anthem that reminds us of the great love that's been shown and that reminds us of the call to each of us as followers of Jesus Christ, I want to invite all of you to stand with me even now. I want to invite the members of our finance team and trustees who aren't singing in the choir to come down here with me. And if you are able, as the choir begins to sing, I want to invite all of us to come to this front area, an altar for the Lord. This area was dedicated in 1915. After a devastating fire and reconstruction, it was dedicated again in 1995. Well, in 2019, God is calling us to dedicate ourselves to what He might do to reach this community through the gospel of Christ. So I want to pray, and as the choir begins to sing, if you are able, please come forward and join us, and we will end our service in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we love You and we thank You that You call us to God-sized tasks. These are tasks that we cannot do without You. This is a God-sized need. And so, Lord, even as we consider what our pledges and what our contributions will be, we start with prayer. For, Lord, we confess You are God over all. You are God over us. And You are God over First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so, Lord, You've told us that the time is now. Let Your church arise, filled with Your Holy Spirit, and let us stand firmly in the faith that You have given, that the world may know Jesus and experience His grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As our choir begins to sing, we invite you to come and just gather in this front area, and we'll sing together, and then we'll pray together, and we'll do this together. Amen? Amen.